top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Tuesday, June 6, 2023, and I'm your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, Justice Dr. Irvin Andre emphasizes the importance of Dominicans taking a stand for their nation's integrity, promoting peace and tolerance, and addressing issues like debt and theft of resources.
The big station. Q95D.
Jamaica services will be disrupted for a second day as midwives protest over government compensation reforms, demanding fair treatment and dialogue with the Ministry of Finance and Public Service. And Ukraine blames Russian forces, while Russian officials blame Ukrainian bombardment for the collapse of a major dam in southern Ukraine, causing floods, crop dangers, and water supply threats.
Station.
The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
People will only help if they see us taking a stand for our nation's integrity. And that's according to Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. He claims that because every great journey starts with a single modest step, Dominicans should be thankful for the chance to increase their population. It is also important to promote a culture of peace and tolerance, as this will help foster a more cohesive society. Even though some of the people who fight for justice in the nation might not be physically there, they must nonetheless help in whatever manner they can to save their nation.
People will only help us if it appears that we are taking a stand to maintain the integrity of our nation. And we have to be thankful that even if the numbers are not many, but bear in mind there was only 12 disciples, so that we have an opportunity to multiply that number tremendously. And we have to understand that every road begins with one small step, or should I say one demonstration. And even if we are not physically there, we have to assist in any way we can. Because again, as I said, we will not have a second chance at rescuing our country.
Dr. Andrew emphasized the global issue of debt and China, highlighting that the theft of resources and the ongoing process. He points out that Dominicans have been criticized for their reluctance to compete on a level playing field.
Look at the countries who owe China money. You think the Chinese ask you for repayment at a high rate of interest? They take your resources. And we have seen firsthand the process has already commenced. Don't take it from me. Go ask some of the folks in Wesley. Some of them have been given houses which are smaller than what they own. If the anecdotal evidence is correct, you have folk going, pointing, I want that thing. I want that house. The disregard for laws protecting the environment, the disregard for your animal life, customs duties being waived. How can you compete on a level playing field? And they call that racism. And when Dominicans react, they call Dominicans racist. Oh, Jesus wept.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Attorney Gabriel Christian opines that the slip of the tongue sent to the Navy SEALs has raised many questions about the culture in the nation. He says that it appears that intelligent individuals are living in fear of losing their security due to the control of a single man. This is a concerning issue as it highlights a lack of trust and transparency within the organization. Christian opines that the case of the Wednesday Walkers is particularly troubling, as they have been intimidated and charged with crimes. It is important that steps are taken to address these issues and create a culture where individuals feel safe and valued.
Snipers. Who sent a shout out to Navy SEALs? It was what you call a slip of the tongue. But out of the money of, out of the mouths of babes will come great truths. I'm not sure she's a babe. But that's the kind of culture we're in. Where there are people who are grown and intelligent. They see what's going on. They know what's going on. But they've allowed themselves to succumb to the fear that they will lose some sinecure, some job, a scholarship, an apartment, a promotion. Because everything now is under the thumb of one man. And they are fearful that they speak up. But we're saying that, look at the Wednesday walkers. They have been intimidated. They've been charged with crime. What is the crime of walking along the streets of where they were born, in Roseau, where they grew up?
He contends that depriving Dominicans of their fundamental human rights has created a culture of fear and a slave mentality. Christian reckons that the Dominican government wants to colonize and hold on to power by using CBI passport holders.
That's the kind of right. Those are the basic human rights that have been denied Dominicans. The right to speak freely, walk around openly. And so that fear now is being used as a tool to create a slave mentality in Dominica, sufficiently so that China and other plundering nations can come and recolonize this beautiful gem of an island that God bequeathed us. We're saying it is not going to happen. Dominicans need to stand up and rally, protest until change comes. Because this government is intended, and is intent rather, on using the passport holders who they've sold passports to in China and Iran and other places to come and colonize Dominica and keep them in power. That's the plan.
Attorney Gabriel Christian, Q95 Global View on Q host Mr. Sheridan Gregoire, urges Dominicans to reject bad governance and support transparent, accountable governance to improve their quality of life and living standards. This message from Mr. Gregoire is a call to action for all Dominicans to demand better governance and accountability from their leaders. It is important for citizens to reject corrupt practices and push for transparency in government operations. As Dominican nationals, he points out that they have the right to enjoy their country's proceeds and work hard while also reaping the rewards of their hard work. Ultimately, by promoting good governance and supporting hard work, Dominicans can improve their quality of life and living standards, thereby creating a brighter future for themselves and for future generations.
To all Dominicans, all people who are within hearing of our voices tonight, why it is that they need to reject bad governance? And why it is they must stand for good governance, good and accountable governance that is transparent, right? That will do the right thing to improve the life, the quality of life and the living standard of its own people. No matter where you come from, no matter what village you come from, no matter what your religious background is, what political party you support, as a Dominican national, you have a right. You have a right to enjoy the proceeds of your country. You have a responsibility to work hard, but you have a right to reap the rewards of your hard work.
He added that it should not be that some foreigners come into the country and leaves with millions of dollars, while the people of the country are crying broke. The sentiment is not uncommon among many citizens who feel that their resources are being exploited by outsiders. He says it is crucial that we uphold or we hold our leaders accountable for their actions, especially when it comes to international relations. The appointment of ambassadors should not be taken lightly, as they represent the country and its values. It is unacceptable for a select few to abuse their power and bring harm to the nation's reputation.
It should not be that some foreigner from somewhere comes in here and they leave with $240 million and Dominicans are crying broke. It should not be that one or two people are given ambassadors, ambassadorships, and then they take the country and wherever else to court to look for $30 million for themselves because they said this. They earn some fees for selling passports or something along those lines. It cannot be that while Dominicans are standing aside and look. It cannot be that you're undertaking the largest infrastructure project in the country and without any consideration to the procurement laws of the country. It cannot be that you just set up a company, you say that you call it your airport development company, and nobody knows what its responsibility is, what its oversight is. Does it have any authority over the developer? Does it have any authority over the contractor? Why is it the Dominica Airport Development Company it appears to have no clout, no teeth, no authority over the persons who are building or contracted to develop the airport. There's something wrong with that.
Sheridan Gregoire, host of Q95's Global View on Q. The DSC or the Dominica State College Confucius Classroom, in partnership with the Faculty of Health Sciences, organized a free health fair event at the Dominica State College, which proved to be a resounding success. Monel Alexis, Public Relations and Recruitment Officer at the Dominica State College, revealed that nearly 60 individuals from the DSC community utilized this chance in the course of 2-hour period. She emphasized that among these services provided by the professionals, eye examinations by the ophthalmologists were the most in demand.
Our Confucius Classroom recently hosted a free health fair in collaboration with our Faculty of Health Sciences for specialist doctors, including cardiologists, urologists, ophthalmologists, and anesthesiologists were present to provide medical services for our college community. Approximately 60 members of our community took advantage of this opportunity over the 2-hour stay. The most heavily requested service from the specialist was eye exams. Several people also consulted with the pain physician on their chronic pain, and others consulted with the cardiologist regarding hypertension and heart disease. Blood pressure checks were also a commonly administered service. Overall, it was a successful health fair that attendees were appreciative of and spoke highly of the professionalism and medical expertise.
Alexis stated that Trudy Christian, the dean of the Confucius Classroom at the State College, conveyed appreciation for the valuable opportunity to collaborate with a highly competent medical team.
Dean Trudy Christian of the Confucius Classroom expressed gratitude to have had this opportunity to collaborate with such an impressive medical team. She said further that this health fair was an invaluable experience for our students and staff, as they have had direct access to some of the best medical minds in our country. Our Confucius Classroom is looking forward to further collaboration with this medical team to bring another successful health fair back to DSC in the future. They especially appreciated Dean Casey's help in providing student nurses to assist in pre-screening all attendees and for their warm reception of the medical team. Our institution remains dedicated to providing its community with access to quality healthcare through events like this free health fair. With its success, we can look forward to even more collaborations between our Confucius Classroom and leading medical teams in our nation.
Monel Alexis, the Public Relations and Recruitment Officer at the Dominica State College. According to Tony Broadbur, the UN Women Multi-Country Office Caribbean Representative, the Voluntary National Review of Dominica has identified a significant area of vulnerability, namely that the pandemic has been able to exacerbate pre-existing weaknesses. She suggested that while the prevalence of informal practices in the Caribbean region represents a notable source of innovation and creativity, it also possesses a significant challenge in the face of natural hazards such as disasters. She delivered a speech at the Build Back Equal project launched recently.
Now, a key area of vulnerability, which was also noted in the Voluntary National Review of Dominica, is that the pandemic in particular exploits weaknesses that already exist. And while our informality is an incredible source of our innovation and creativity, it becomes a challenge when we have natural hazards, whether they be a COVID-19 pandemic or a tropical storm or a hurricane. So why is this choice or lack of opportunity, the lack of the space, why are our countries missing out on the hidden figures of these educated women and these uneducated youth who are talented in many ways, but the outputs of their talent may not be the way in which we would like it to be manifested in our communities? Social protection programs are one way in which countries have been trying to address this. And in Dominica, we know you have over 30 political support this morning. Social protection. Public spending on this was 2.2% of your GDP, and 64% of that was in cash transfers. Now, in St. Lucia, We have an example of how to make these cash transfer programs even more successful. Because you explore who is on the program, why they're on the program, and why they're not graduating. We recognize most of the people on the programs were single women who had many children. And because they did not have funding for childcare, they weren't being able to strengthen their skill set to graduate. Through the Build Back Equal project, we will not only be able to continue the work of that in St. Lucia, but expand it to Dominica, to Grenada, and to St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Now let's return to this time issue and why our countries are not reaping the benefits of the high education rates among children. What work are women doing? And why aren't we accurately reflecting this work that they are doing? Work that's perhaps not considered economic activity, work like cleaning the house, helping with homework, taking care of the elderly, getting children to school on time.
And that was UN Women Multi-Country Caribbean Office Representative Tony Bradbaugh. The Commonwealth of Dominica's government has taken the decision to upgrade the existing Douglas Charles Airport in Margot, while it is building a new international airport in Wesley, purportedly to boost tourism and attract new carriers. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt addressed the controversy surrounding this decision by asserting that even though the international airport development is scheduled to take 4 years, it is predicted that the nation's tourism industry will expand and more visitors will travel here. He says large aircraft have difficulty landing at Douglas Charles because of the length of the runway and other restrictions, especially during inclement weather. He notes that the government has made economic adjustments to preserve connections and attract new carriers.
The timeline for the construction of the international airport is about 4 years. During that period, we expect further expansion in the tourism sector and an increase in visitor arrivals. In other words, activity at the Douglas Charles continues. Our partners, namely American Airlines, have advised us that due to the length and limitations of the runway at Douglas Charles, they have experienced difficulty flying in, especially when there is bad weather. The fact is, it is problematic for large aircrafts to land safely at Douglas Charles when there is low cloud cover or any sign of adverse weather conditions. In many instances, American Airlines has had to circle the airport several times, eventually giving up and returning to Miami. So we have listened to the airline's concerns and recommendations and decided it makes economic sense to implement some changes now to maintain existing relationships and attract new airlines into Dominica.
He noted that upgrades are being made at Douglas Charles Airport to increase capacity, maintain flights operated by American Airlines, and boost visitor arrivals. He added that the upkeep of the current airport is essential for the security, comfort, and safety of travelers, and he also indicated that work is anticipated to start in the upcoming month and be completed in the next 4 months.
These improvements are meant to improve capacity at Douglas Charles, ensure that American Airlines continues to fly into Dominica, and ultimately increase visitor arrivals into our country. We cannot afford to suspend economic activity during the 3 to 4 years that it takes to build an international airport. The Douglas Charles Airport must be maintained to ensure the safety and security of airlines flying into Dominica, as well as the comfort of passengers using the facility. I assure you that the projected economic benefits far outweigh the cost of the improvements we are undertaking. Work is expected to get underway within the next month, and we will continue over a 4 month period.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Q95's Kingdom Connection program host, Pastor Randy Rodney, expressed disappointment last evening with the incumbent holding the position of DLP regime leader. He said this individual has been producing and disseminating false information in order to boost his reputation despite being aware of the untruthfulness of that information. Pastor Rodney cited a specific incident to illustrate his viewpoint. Rodney asserted that Mr. Skerritt is highly deliberate and strategic in the delivery of his falsehoods. In that regard, he emulates the exemplar of a biblical figure who, according to scripture, proclaims a lie as if it were the veritable or the veritable truth, even when there is no need to resort to deceitful means.
It is very unfortunate that the holder of the office of the Prime Minister is so calculative in speaking the untruth. It's extremely unfortunate. And it's sad. It saddens me that from the high office of the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Dominica, the holder of that office will manufacture something to make himself look good, especially when he knows he's lying to the public. And I will give you one example. I had made up my mind I was not listening to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Dominica, you know, those days. But somehow, something got into me to pay attention to the last press conference. And so I listened to the press conference. And when I heard enough, I shut it down, as though, you know, he was in the radio. I closed it because I didn't want to hear anything else. So the Prime Minister reported in response to a question by Curtis Matthew with regard to the matter that Mary Dom, via one individual, brought before the court on practically marriage equality, if you like. The Prime Minister answered and he said, he didn't ask him over the church. That's why I say he finds a way to manufacture untruth. And he's losing respect every day and nobody's telling him.
And his response was,
well, what he expects what happened in Belize and two other countries he mentioned to happen in Dominica, which means that the likelihood is that Mary Dom will win the matter. And he goes on to add that instead of the churches sit down there playing politics, they were invited and they did not get involved in the matter. And he goes on to make his lie look truthful, to say that he knows because he's been updated on the matter. Now, maybe if he didn't say the last part, I would say they didn't tell him. But he is so calculative in presenting a lie. He does it like the gentleman in St. John chapter 8 and verse 44. He speaks the lie as though it's the truth, even if he has to lie by himself. And he says that, you know, he's been updated on the matter. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here is the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is both the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches and the Dominica Christian Council. In case you're wondering, the Dominica Christian Council encompasses all the Roman Catholic churches, all the Methodist churches, right? And I think the Anglican churches.
In other news this evening, Jamaica's services undertaken by midwives are due to be disrupted for a second straight day as they continue their protest action over the consequences of the government's recent revamping of the public sector compensation. Midwives across the island stayed off the job on Monday to press the government to correct anomalies in their salaries. President of the Midwives Association, Sharon Banbury, charged on Monday that the midwives were not being treated fairly, having not been granted an opportunity to engage the Ministry of Finance and the Public Service in dialogue.
That we wanted was to do things differently. And so we would have reached out to the Ministry of Finance or the Minister seeking, you know, dialogue. Of course, there were a lot of discrepancies that were detected. We would be informed by the Ministry of Finance that they would have turned over the problem to the Ministry of Health. However, this has been since January, it's now June, 6 months, and we are still at a wait. We don't know what is happening. Nobody's saying anything to us. We are being told the Ministry of Finance is saying, oh, it's the Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Health is saying, oh, it's the regions. The regions are saying, oh, no, it's the Ministry of Finance. And so, like, we are being given the runaround. We were receiving an allowance that was non-taxable, and we were told that this would be rolled into our salaries, which was done. So what happened is that if we were getting, say, for instance, $1,000, and we were getting $500 for the allowance was not taxed. So when they take out the tax from the 1,000 and the 500 is added, we would go home with something lookable. However, now that it is rolled into tax, it now becomes taxable. So as a result, we did not receive an increase. We're now worse off.
And still in other news, a major dam in southern Ukraine collapsed on Tuesday, triggering floods, endangering crops in the country's breadbasket, and threatening drinking water supplies as both sides in the war scrambled to evacuate residents and blamed each other for the destruction. Ukraine accused Russian forces of blowing up the Kakhovka Dam and the hydroelectric power station on the Dnipro River in an area that Moscow has controlled over a year, while Russian officials blamed Ukrainian bombardment in the contested area. It was not possible to verify the claims.
The dam for a massive reservoir in southern Ukraine has been destroyed on a river that separates Russian and Ukrainian forces, surging floodwaters onto the battlefield, forcing villages to evacuate, and transforming the front line just as Ukraine appears to be carrying out its long-awaited counteroffensive. Russia's controlled the Novokakhovka Dam since early in the war, although Ukrainian forces captured the northern side of the river last year. Flooding had begun in some towns as of Tuesday morning. The dam is 30 meters tall and once held back a reservoir 150 miles long. Supplies water to both Crimea and the Zaporizhzhia power plant, both of which are also under Russian control, although the UN's nuclear watchdog says there's no immediate threat to the latter and is monitoring the situation. Both sides are blaming the other for the breach, and neither has offered immediate evidence of their claims. President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russian forces destroyed the dam from the inside in what he calls a deliberate war crime, and that about 80 settlements are in the flood zone. The Ukrainian military says the objective was to prevent Ukrainian forces from attacking Russian troops on the other side of the river. Russian-installed officials are giving conflicting accounts of what happened. Some are blaming Ukrainian shelling, others say the dam burst on its own. This footage is from the Russian-installed head of the regional government. Russian state media, quoting the Russian-installed governor, reported that 14 settlements were at risk in the Kherson region and 22,000 people. The Kremlin says Ukraine sabotaged the plant to distract attention from what it calls its faltering.
And that's the Prime Evening News, but first there's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre emphasizes the importance of Dominicans taking a stand for their nation's integrity, promoting peace and tolerance, and addressing issues like debt and threat of resources. Jamaica services will be disrupted for a second day as midwives protest over government compensation reforms, demanding fair treatment and dialogue with the Ministry of Finance and Public Service. And Ukraine blames Russian forces, while Russian officials blame Ukrainian bombardment for the collapse of a major dam in southern Ukraine, causing floods, crop dangers, and water supply threats. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise, and I have been your presenter, Jade George.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it